When the pagans tell you to conform, ignore them and get into trouble. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, I'm Mike Kellogg, and this is Key Life. If you are interested in honest and practical Bible teaching for struggling believers, you are at the right place. Here's Steve Brown.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Daniel. And I'm sort of a tour director this week and next week. We have covered some of the preliminary understandings from the book of Daniel in order to help you understand the book. And we're just kind of going through Daniel now. And I know I'm not up to the stuff you want me to cover. Some of you guys would rather study prophecy than eat pancakes. And I've never understood that. I mean, pancakes are good, and you understand what goes into them. And maple syrup, you know how we make it. You get into prophecy, and we're not sure. And in 1 Peter, and we'll talk about this a little bit later on, and in 1 Peter, Peter the Apostle makes it quite clear that prophecy is not given so that we can feed our prurient interest. It's given so that those who live in the time which is prophesied might say, "Oh, and be encouraged." But we're going to get to that. But right now, we're up to the 6th chapter. This is one of my favorite passages in the entire Old Testament. I'm going to start, well, let me tell you what happens just before. Daniel gets promoted. Now, I have a friend, Fred Smith, in Dallas, who's my mentor. And people were going after a very famous preacher. And I'm not going to tell you his name, because some of you like him and some of you don't like him. And if I say I like him, then you're going to be mad at me. And if I say I don't like him, then those who like him are going to be mad at me. And I've already got enough to cause you to be offended. But at any rate, this very famous preacher was being criticized in the press horribly. And my friend Fred, who's his friend, the friend of this famous preacher, sent him a letter and said to him, "I've got a wonderful way to stop the criticism immediately. Fail." That's true. Well, Daniel didn't fail, as you know, if you've been reading much of this book. Daniel, everything he did turned out good. I mean, he was promoted and promoted and promoted. Pretty soon, he was head of over everybody. And then some of the leaders got Darius, the king, to sign a decree that says everybody's got to quit praying to their little gods, and they got to pray to the image of the king. And then let's pick up the story at Daniel 6, 10 through 15. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that's the decree I just talked about, he went home. And he whined. Doesn't say that. Daniel went home and said, "You know, I've been promoted and I have all this money and all this prestige. I think I'll just nod in the direction of the king's image." Doesn't say that. That's what you would have done. That's what I would have done, except for God's grace. And I expect if I'm ever brought to that position, I'll do the right thing. But listen to what the text says. "Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem." Now, I wouldn't have done that. I'd at least kept my windows closed. "He knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. 'Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?' The king answered and said, 'The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter.' So they answered and said before the king, 'That Daniel,'" and you can just see them dripping with sarcasm, and they can't help but smile. They sound like the Lord of the Rings. "Daniel, what about Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day?" And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself. and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that is the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed." Then you know the rest of the story. Daniel was cast into the lion's den. Lions ever roar around you? You ever find yourself in a place where there's simply no way out because you've done the right thing, because you stood and you were counted, because you had convictions? Boy, I've been there. Not often, but I've been there. And I'll tell you something. I have been in front of lions because I deserve to be in front of lions, because I'm a sinner, because I've been unfaithful, because I failed to do it God's way. But I've also been in front of lions when I've been faithful, when people didn't understand, when I've done the best I can and your friends misunderstand. Thou who knowest all about me, stand by me. And he did. Always has. Now, it wasn't pleasant. I didn't like it. But there was something good about the way I slept at night, about the feelings I had during the day, even when everybody else misunderstood. There's a principle here. Some people will teach you that if you're good and you're pure and you're faithful and you're honest and you have conviction and you stand for Jesus, you won't ever have to go before the lions. They lied to you, dear friend. That's just not true. Listen, the pagans don't like us. And if they do like us, they've misunderstood what we've been saying. I mean, if what we've been saying is true, then they're in trouble and they know it. And they want to be autonomous. So if they understand what you believe and they're not angry, then they're fruitcakes. So you're going to be in trouble. So say it. I mean, you don't have to shout it. You don't have to beat people over the head with a Bible, but say it. Stand up and be counted. And sometimes you may have to go before the lions. And sometimes the lions win, and sometimes you'll win. But in the end, the retirement plan is fine, and you're going to be okay. I remember one time I was working in a prison ministry, and we had a chaplain in the prison who was a wonderful chaplain. And I don't even remember his name. This has been years ago. But his wife was sort of like, who was the aunt on the series that happened in North Carolina? At any rate, Aunt B. Now, it takes me a while. I'm getting older, and I'm doing the best I can. But anyway, she reminded me of Aunt B. She had no business being in a prison. I mean, there were killers in the prison and thieves and rapists. And we had this Christmas party. And the chaplain's wife wanted to read her poetry. And I said to her, that's pretty poetry, but it's better you read that at the ladies' aid society and not in this prison, because that stuff's not going to fly. And she said she didn't care. She was going to read the poetry. And the chaplain's, he was the boss, so she read the poetry. And I was sitting in the back of that room with all those prisoners. We just had refreshments, and the program for the evening was the poetry of Aunt B. I thought, oh, man, we're going to have a prison riot. This is going to be all. You know what happened? It got so quiet you could heard a pin drop. She had poems about Jesus, and they were, I thought, because I was sophisticated and an intellectual, I know better now. I thought, this is slurpy stuff. But then I looked around the room and I saw angry and mean-spirited prisoners with tears in their eyes. And I saw the chaplain's wife sort of like in a lion's den. And God had shut the mouths of lions. And then I realized something that was really important for me in those days, that I was one of the lions and that God had shut my mouth to. What is it you're not doing right now because you're afraid of what people will say? Now, I'm not talking about being offensive. Jesus should be the offense, not us. I'm not talking about waving a Christian flag and telling people they're going to hell and you're glad. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. But what are you not doing in terms of telling a friend about Jesus Christ because you're afraid of what your friend will say? Do they know your golf score but they don't know the name of your church? Do they know the names of your kids and where they've gone to college, but they don't know that you belong to Jesus Christ? Do they know your business, but they don't know that Jesus Christ came to save sinners and that you're the chief of sinners? Boy, I'll tell you, it's hard sometimes when you care more about what people think. And can we talk? We all care about that. Every once in a while somebody says, I don't care what people think. Whenever anybody says that, don't buy a used car for them because all the oars are not in the water. The butter's slipping off their toast. Something isn't quite right. Because we all care about what other people think. I tell my students when they say, I don't want to bring shame on Jesus, I say, son, it's not Jesus you're worried about. He was doing fine before you came along. It's you that you're worried about. What are you not doing right now that you would do if you weren't afraid of what people would do to you, about what people would think, about your job, about your future, about your money? Let me tell you something. Go do it. Anyway, you'll be glad. You think about that. I'm in. Hey, listen, the first of two or three booklets on our Older Testament survey is finished, and I'd love to send it to you. It's the Genesis to Esther booklet that you can put in your Bible when you're reading those books, and will help you understand those books of the Older Testament, and I'd love to send it to you free, and I will as long as supplies last. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box, 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box, 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address, and ask for the Old Testament Survey, Genesis through Esther. And we'll send it to you absolutely free. If you can help us financially, this is an expensive ministry because we send out so much free stuff and only a few people are able to help us. Be a champion. You can charge it on your MasterCard or Visa if God calls you to do it. Your Discover card included in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send you as my thank you the cassette teaching, Mercy's Freedom. What you as a Christian no longer have to do because of God's mercy. Hey, listen, be sure and include the call letters of the station when you write or call. And Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.